Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
We're going to have a training camp, mandatory mini camp update for you. Coming, it's OTAs. It's mandatory mini camp. It's training, and then it's practice. Anyhow, whatever it's called, we're going to have an update for you in a second. Zach Meisel just talked about some of the things going on, and he's hoping that we see CJ Cephas soon enough. Well, he's been hitting like crazy. Why not? When Chase DeLauder is ready, Tom, I don't think that this is a situation where you need to leave him down there for extra time. Bring him up. It's time. You need somebody. But I think this, if you bring up one of those guys, it's decision time on some of the other guys on the roster.
100% right.
Are you going to make trades? Are you going to release a guy like Nolan Jones, which to me would be a silly move because he actually looks like, the numbers might not be showing it right now, but he's warmed up. He looks like a guy who can play in the majors and play, you know, have a nice career. What do you do with Lane Thomas? Are you going to keep playing David Fry even though he can only hit? Jonathan Rodriguez was tearing it up in AAA, but does he fit into this? And then you got Manzardo, who's not playing. Should you send him down to AAA? If they make that move with one of those young minor league guys, I think you're going to have decisions to make.
I agree with you. And it's the middle of June, and this is getting to be a very interesting juncture of a season, right? And I also, unfortunately, we've seen this in the past too, Jeff. When you bring up a guy like DeLauder or Cephas at this time of year, when a team is struggling, suddenly the pressure that would already be on them gets magnified because they're viewed as, okay, this is the kid that's supposed to come up and save our lineup or provide some pop to our lineup. And that just adds another layer of pressure that a young kid doesn't need. And that's why teams are sometimes so reluctant to make a move like that because they don't want a kid to come up and suddenly have some failure and lose their confidence and then have to go back down to the minor leagues. We've seen that many times, right? We've seen that yo-yo effect. So I'm with you, Jeff. If they do make that move with one of those two guys, and I think that day is, to Zach's point, could have happened if they weren't facing four straight lefties over the last few days. That may have happened already. And I think you're right. I think that when it does, they have to really evaluate, okay, how much longer can we ride with Lane Thomas? Would it be better for David Fry maybe to sit out the rest of the year? Who knows? I mean,
yeah, I don't know what you do with him.
Yeah, I don't either, especially because it's now impacting the Manzardo situation, right? Mm-hmm. You want to get him as many at-bats as you can. You know what David Fry can give you. I think they're just hoping again for, you know, not lightning in the bottle, but, you know, for him to be the all-star player that he was last year, and it's going to take some time.
Mandatory minicamp rolling in Berea. What's going on right now? I'll tell you. First 11 on 11 of the day, day two, Dano,
Dylan Gabriel is first up with the first team drill for the second straight day, going up against the first team defense, gentlemen.
Daryl Ryder on Twitter, at Ryder Wrong Fan. Daryl sums it up very nicely because we see Dylan Gabriel go back. Daryl's got video, and he says he is forced to kill worms. Dylan Gabriel had to spike
the
ball.
I've seen that play before. The one where nobody's open and he's under duress and you got to throw it into the ground. I've seen that play. It doesn't work. I don't know why they don't throw that one out.
All right. Now tell me this one.
I believe that one is called Oh Word I Can't Say on the Internet.
Daniel Thomas.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to look at any stats from mandatory minicamp and give anything to anything. The defensive players aren't trying to knock your head off. They're not rushing very much. Can I get around my guy by just like moving, because we're not wearing pads. There's nothing going on. I'm not looking at stats. Again, it's like, how many threes did you hit in pregame warmup in an NBA game? Yeah. And how many base hits did you get in batting practice before the Guardians take on the Reds? These stats mean nothing. This might mean something. Dylan Gabriel, first guy up.
I think so too, Jeff. I think obviously you would expect one of the two rookies to be first up because they need the reps. The team needs to see what these guys have got, see what they're all about. And I also think that it means that he's probably a little bit more advanced in terms of what he can handle schematically in the playbook, et cetera. I think he's ready to get his shot. And so I'm with you. I think that's about the only thing that matters is, who's in first, who's going against who. Everything else kind of goes out the window, because even an 11-on-11s, and again, not hitting each other, short pants, running around, glorified gym class.
As long as a quarterback's wearing an orange jersey, you can't give a whole lot of credibility to any passing stats out of a practice.
No, I don't put a lot of stock into a lot of this, but again, good to get a look at him and then see what he's all about. That's what this year and this summer is going to be devoted to.
Oh, but there's more news with quarterbacks.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Joe Flacco running with the twos so far early on today.
Heaven forbid.
Joe Flacco hanging with the backups.
Is that okay? Tom, I look at this and I continue to think this, and Andy hates me for it, and folks call the show and they hate me for it. I can't imagine them starting the season with Joe Flacco as their starting quarterback.
I can. Very easily.
Tell me why.
Because he's the most proven quarterback that you have. You had success with him 2 years ago, right?
For five games.
For five games.
But they were, boy, were they fun. Boy, were they fun.
It's the best month I had in my 26 years of covering the Cleveland Browns.
He lit it up.
He was unbelievable.
He lit it up.
It was magical.
He lit it up.
So, think about what this year is supposed to be about. It's about figuring out whether or not these couple of kids that you've got are ready. They're not ready.
If Flacco starts, I can't imagine Pickett being the backup. I would think he's gone.
He's gone. I would think so too. And then you have come to the realization that
you better get a quarterback moving forward.
Yeah, or Shador or Dylan can be your number two, and we'll see what happens.
Right.
As we know in Cleveland, the quarterback line moves, right? So you got to worry about, Joe getting hurt or Kenny getting hurt, and then suddenly running into a situation where you did a couple years ago, where suddenly your rookie quarterback, in this case DTR, was out there starting games well before he was ready to, right? That was a situation you would hope the Browns have learned from. But Jeff, I can see a scenario where Joe Flacco is just ordained as your starter.
Would it be
midway through training camp, and you just go with him?
Because Kenny Pickett didn't look good?
Possibly. Okay. Or because you have other plans. I mean, we don't know exactly what this team is thinking beyond what they've got with these four guys right now. Right now, it's about evaluating these four guys, figure out a pecking order, and go from there.
All right, everybody calm your panic. We have an update. Joe Flacco now throwing with the ones, Dylan Gabriel with the twos, and red zone drills. So it's okay. I know everybody
he's been
had
promoted
about a 5-minute
already.
Panic.
Good for him. See, that's Joe Flacco for you.
Everybody had a 5-minute panic. It's okay.
That's Joe Flacco for you. That's classic.
He does things. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's classic. I like that a lot. So that's a good thing there. Quinshon Judkins. Daryl has a little video of Quinshon and Dylan Sampson doing the little footwork drill around the bags. And Quinshon looks as nimble as the guy who's 20 pounds lighter than he is. He was on the morning show with Ken and Anthony today, Dano. And sounds like a pretty confident young guy.
Yeah, thinks that his foundation that he had with Ohio State and running in their offense can definitely help him when it comes to getting ready for the Browns season.
For myself, it's pretty similar. Pro-style offense, run game first, throwing game, pass game as well. I like the way that our coaches implement each and every different type of plays and run schemes into the offense and just help guys like me show my versatility.
I'm anxious to see him, Tom.
Me too. Not only did I like him last year, when he was at Mississippi,
he was
I mean, he led the SEC in rushing,
right,
didn't he?
And he was the guy. He wasn't splitting.
He was the guy, yeah. Damn, he was carrying the ball 30 times a game. So he does a lot of things really well. I'm really interested in seeing him. And you know, we can we kind of make a little bit of fun of some of these videos. We see Dan Lobby from Cleveland.com and I used to laugh every day in camp because I was always one that would try to put running back content out on the X. Guys going through drills and stuff. But I'd be honest with you, when you have the access like that and you're able to get up as close as we are in Berea to watch these guys and do their footwork and stuff, I was always fascinated by the difference you can see and who can really do these drills well and who struggles. And sometimes that equates to what they can do on the football field, believe it or not.
That is actually really true. How do you see this running back situation going this year? I wonder, you know, you had Nick Chubb, and Nick was clearly the number one guy, but I think Nick was at his best, arguably, when Kareem Hunt was right there with him. And that was a really nice combo, Tom. And Kareem got a lot of touches as well. I would hope, personally, that Dylan Sampson shows enough that he can become what Kareem Hunt was to Nick Chubb.
Nice complimentary piece. You give him the ball here and there. Yeah, I agree with you.
I don't know if it'll become a David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs split like they have in Detroit, even though that's become the new vogue.
That model seems to be working, doesn't it?
It sure does, yeah.
Cross the league.
And they're both fresh, you know, they both serve their purpose. Montgomery's great around the goal line, but they don't take him out when they're in the middle of the field. You know, they're alternating series a lot. I wouldn't mind that here.
Well, and especially with two young guys, you know, they're going to have the understanding that, hey, you know, I'm not ready to be the number one. Neither is he. Let's do this together. I think it's a good way to go about things. I mean, and I mentioned it earlier. I thought the way that that Ohio State handled Judkins and Henderson really made them a more dangerous team and a better offense because they were both fresh when they got out there. And I know, and as long as, you know, guys can kind of put
especially
their,
late in the game when the defense isn't.
Exactly. Suddenly you get a fresher guy out there. As we know, that system worked, as you mentioned before, Jeff, that system worked incredibly well when Hunt and Chubb were going full bore a couple years ago. So maybe that's what Kevin is doing. He's going back to, hey, this worked for us in the past. Let's give it a shot again.
When we come back, Shedeur Sanders gets a lot of hype, gets a lot of interest. He was taken in the fifth round. Does that mean anything? History will tell you, yes, it does. We'll keep you updated with what's going on at camp, but why you don't get too excited about guys taken in the fifth round, despite the hype and despite their name. Next on Baskin and Phelps, Tom Withers in for Andy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jeff Phelps. Tom Withers is in for Andy today. Dan Menigan keeping us abreast of everything that's going on at Mandatory Minicamp Day number 2. Our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, posting just 1 minute ago, a couple of quick throws from Shedeur Sanders with offensive linemen as defensive linemen. So Shedeur got the ball out quickly.
I'm happy to be with the ones here today. That's all I know. Even though I'm in a backup.
There's the line of the day.
There you go.
I was thinking the other day, Tom. Jeff, I was thinking there's a lot of stuff being put on Shedeur Sanders. And is it justified? Is it not justified? Is it deserved? Anyhow, for whatever reason, the kid lasted until the 5th round of the draft. For whatever reason, he's now a Cleveland Brown. And once he's here, he's not a draft choice anymore. He's a quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. And so he's out there practicing right now. But I've tried to point this out to people. We've had folks call the show, Tom, and literally say, why don't you trade Shedeur and recap draft choices and get a couple of draft picks for him? And because you could get a 3rd and a 4th for him. And I said, how could you get a 3rd and a 4th for a guy who was drafted in the 5th? Who everybody passed on.
He could be the exception to the rule, though, as far as
maybe
that
down the road.
Yeah, you're right. But if this he shows guy, that he can do something.
This guy said, do it now. Yeah. It's like, I'm sorry, that's not going to, you don't understand. And so it's difficult. If a guy lasted until the 5th round, for whatever reason, there's a reason. And the chances of him hitting big in the NFL are slim. Doesn't mean he can't. Doesn't mean he couldn't become a Hall of Famer. Maybe he does. I hope he does. My fingers are crossed. It would be great. That would be unbelievable if they could get, you know, a terrific quarterback in the 5th or the 3rd round with Dylan Gabriel. But I thought I need to hammer home how difficult it is to find talent in that spot in the draft. Now, of course, the draft is now 7 rounds. It used to be, you know, 20, 30 rounds. Yeah. I mean, if you go way back. So I thought, you know, nothing would irritate people more than if I put together an all-time Cleveland Browns 5th-round draft choice team.
I like it.
Already. See, this is what we're talking about.
Oh, boy.
So, already, here we go. You set the all-time Cleveland Browns 5th-round draft choice team. As mandatory minicamp going on, and we'll be hearing from the Browns coming up maybe within a half an hour or so. So, get ready. At quarterback, we have 2 guys. I couldn't make one of them the guy because he's yet to play a snap. Shedeur Sanders and Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Those are your 2 quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
At running back, two guys named Jerome.
Jerome Ford.
Jerome Ford, who is a 2022 fifth round pick. And Jerome Harrison in 2006. And if you remember...
One of the great games of all time.
If you don't, here you go.
There you go.
Tom just called the five games with Flacco magical. Jerome Harrison had a three-game stretch at the end of the 2009 season where he had 561 yards rushing in three games. And one of them, 286 yards against Kansas City.
And he saved Eric Mangini's job.
Yes, he did. I was talking to Jerome at a Cavs game after that, and he's a nice kid. He's a great kid, yeah. Really good guy. He had some health issues. But he was terrific. And I looked at him, and we're just chatting, and I was going to do an interview with him later. And I said, he looked at me, and he kind of smiled, and I just said, gee, look what happens when you give a guy the ball. And he went, I know, right?
Oh, that's great.
I just cracked up. A wide receiver, Tom, you ready?
Give him.
Fair Hooker from 1969. These are the best fifth-round draft choices the Browns have ever had at these positions.
Number 88 on your roster.
2016, Rashard Higgins.
Hollywood.
And then in 1956, they took a guy named Frank Clark, who spent three seasons in Cleveland, went to Dallas in the expansion draft, and made a Pro Bowl.
Don't remember Frank Clark.
I don't either.
My little Fair Hooker story. So the 72 Dolphins, the undefeated team.
One of the best names ever.
No doubt. 72 Dolphins team. Beat the Browns in the playoffs, and there was a play in which Fair Hooker lost the ball in the sun. They lost like 21-17, Jeff. It was a real close game. I don't know if you remember. Fair Hooker lost a ball in the sun that could have put them ahead with a go-ahead touchdown from Mike Phipps, I believe, was quarterbacking at the time. So here's my Fair Hooker story.
If only he had been
great
fair
name, though.
On
great
that catch. It would have worked out fine.
Unfair.
And then at tight end, a guy named Jim Gibbons in 1958. He was pretty good. 11 seasons, all in Detroit. But the Browns drafted him. He made three Pro Bowls. Along the offensive line, we'll make this one quick. At offensive tackle, this is why, folks, when you draft guys in the fifth round, you don't think, yep, got that problem solved. Your tackles are Roderick Johnson and Herman Arvey. Herman was a fun guy. I liked Herman. Nice fella. At guard, you got John Wooten, who was a big-time player for a long time. And Henry Shepard, who played a lot of football for the Browns.
Nice pick.
And at center, Mike Babb.
Mike Babb
was a fifth-round pick. So you actually got three offensive linemen who could play in the fifth round. And that, you know, maybe those are the rounds where you find those kind of guys. So there's your offense, folks. Your quarterbacks are Shadur and Dorian Thompson-Robinson. All-time Cleveland Browns fifth-round draft pick team. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball, shall we?
Can I interrupt you real quick with a bit of news?
Oh, yes. I want news.
Kenny Pickett first up in 11 on 11s. They're now starting to do those, so we'll see where it goes.
Well, Dylan was already out there.
The first quarterback.
Oh, wasn't Dylan already out there through the warm burner that we saw on video?
That was through 11 on 11 red zone drill. This is 11 on 11 non-red zone.
Thank you for clarifying.
You're welcome. That's what I'm here for.
Thank you very much. Can we have the music again?
It's you fun. May.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. Your all-time Cleveland Browns fifth round team. On the defensive line, they found two guys in the fifth round who could really play. Number one, Rob Burnett, who was here for a while and then went with the team to Baltimore. And he played 14 seasons in the NFL at defensive end. Another guy, Elvis Franks from Woodville, Texas. I used to work near Woodville. Used to go to Woodville at like 1 o'clock in the morning to get a cup of coffee back in the day. It was a beautiful part of East Texas. He played for the Browns, played 83 games, and then had some legal troubles, but we won't get into that. At defensive tackle, a guy named Amon Gordon in 2004. Tom,
sure.
I don't remember.
Barely.
Tom, this is my life.
He had a cup of coffee in Woodville as well.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. We used to go, my buddy Neil and I would drive to Woodville after work. Ruby worked at the Woodville Inn.
Okay.
We'd go in, Ruby, hi boys, how you doing? We'd get a cup of coffee. The other guy in the fifth round on the defensive line, Hall of Famer Henry Jordan, who after 2 years in Cleveland got traded to Green Bay, where he spent 11 seasons and made the Hall of Fame as a Packer.
You go.
Thank you very
See
much.
See what happens when you trade fifth rounders? That's what happens.
At linebacker on your all-time fifth round Cleveland Brown draft pick team, I went with four linebackers because I couldn't keep up with enough defensive backs.
Okay.
So I put him in a 4-4-3.
Oh, I like it.
Mac Wilson, who started 16 games last year for Arizona, went to New England. Tony Fields, 2021, has played in 45 games. A really nice guy who wasn't a bad football player. Andre Davis was a fifth-round pick in 2002.
Nice guy.
What a
guy.
Great guy, yeah. Huh?
Had a couple good years.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Played in 143 games in his career. He did a really nice job. So, Andre, if you're listening somewhere, miss you. You're a really good guy. And then here you go. You ready? Anybody remember the name Mike Lucci? He was a fifth-round draft choice at linebacker in 1961, 3 years in Cleveland, then spent 9 in Detroit and was really a pretty good linebacker.
Mm.
He was one of those guys on the football card who was in the athletic pose with the mean, ferocious, funny face.
I love it, yeah.
Yeah, he was that guy. Then, in the defensive backfield, Cam Mitchell, who's here. Buster Skrine, who had some moments, played 11 seasons.
Sure did, yeah.
Five teams. Was okay.
Jets,
yeah, was okay in Cleveland, but pretty good with the Jets.
Yeah.
And then, you ready?
Give it
Hall
to
of him. Famer Dick LeBeau.
Ooh.
Who spent all of his years in Detroit, but was a Browns fifth-round draft choice. So their best fifth-round picks got traded to Green Bay and Detroit, where they became really good.
Hall of Famers, yeah.
And then in the fifth round, we have special teamers.
I love it.
Your kicker is Austin Seibert. He's still kicking around trying to make teams. Wasn't he with Washington last year for a while?
There are Browns kickers on every roster in the league. It's unbelievable. I know.
Steve Cox, punter.
Steve Cox.
1981. And long snapper Ryan Pontryagin was a fifth-round pick. That, ladies and gentlemen, is your all-time Cleveland Browns fifth-round draft pick team, which is why you don't get overly excited about Shadur, but you keep your fingers crossed and hope he becomes one of those guys who sneaks through.
That's the moral of the story, isn't
there
it?
There it is.
Yeah, I like it. I
and
like
no reason
more.
He can't, Tom. No reason he can't, but I don't want to hear, you got a first-round talent in the fifth round. No, you didn't, because if he was a first-round talent, somebody would have taken him by at least the third.
Didn't Steve Cox make like a 60-yard field goal at Denver?
Yes.
Right?
61-yarder,
I think. Was that what it was?
Yeah.
I love those looks back at Browns history. Good to reminisce, but to your point, Jeff, a good way of kind of looking at maybe what this guy is or is not right now.
And keep your fingers crossed that he can pull it off. And why not? But just know, guys are drafted somewhere for a reason. Quinshon Judkins was a second-round pick. Daryl has video. It says, can I interest you in a Quinshon Judkins run? Yes, you can, because he took it to the house. Browns are on the field at minicamp. They will be speaking shortly. You will hear them right here on The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner today, Tom Withers, retired from the Associated Press, not retired from the Cleveland sports scene. In for Andy today, Dan Menigan, going like crazy. By the way, all press conferences here on The Fan are brought to us by Montrose Ford. Choose Click Cruise at MontroseFordAkron.com, and we'll have press conferences momentarily as day two of mandatory minicamp will be wrapping up here within the next 10, 15, 5, who knows, whenever they get done. But we'll hear from Kevin Stefanski and Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, Deontay Johnson, among the Browns speaking. We hope to hear from all three right here on the show. Tom, interested in hearing from Flacco and from Pickett and Deontay Johnson?
Of course I am. I'm also interested to find out if Jeff Phelps is watching the NBA Finals, which I'm assuming he is.
Darn right I am. I got to tell you how much I am enjoying the Indiana Pacers.
God.
And I'm enjoying them for this reason. Wait a minute. That's ball movement. That's body movement. That's finding the open man, and you're playing harder than everybody else. How difficult is it, Tom?
It's not. Boy, I tell you, they're making you really rethink, in many ways, what kind of an offense you run.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're not reliant on high ball screen, you know, bringing the big out, getting the mismatch. They're running people all over the place.
Move the ball like crazy and find the open man.
And, you know, and Halliburton is such an interesting player because he can take over when he needs to. He can find his shot when he needs to. But he's trying to set up his other guys. Yeah. He's trying to get everybody involved and get them touches. And I'm with you, Jeff. I've just been blown away by the way they've played. The other part of it,
they don't let up, Tom.
They don't either. Their relentlessness is just uncanny. Oklahoma City's also a fabulous team. And I know people, nationally are saying two small markets, nobody really cares, nobody's paying attention. Well, I tell you what.
Basketball fans are.
Yep. And I tell you what, you better pay attention to SGA because that kid is going nowhere and he's only getting better and he's 26 years old and he is on the brink of superstardom.
And he went 3 picks after the Cavs took Colin Sexton.
Don't remind me.
But I'm letting that go. I'm letting that go. I my only concern, and I have found myself without question pulling for Indiana.
Right.
And I wasn't sure who I was pulling for when they were playing the Knicks, and then the game got going, and I was immediately pulling for Indiana because I just love the way they play. Although I like the way the Knicks played, too.
I did, too.
But I was pulling for Indiana, and they did not look good in game two. They fell behind by double digits in the second quarter and then never got under double digits again, which was rare for them. And I want to see how they bounce back today in game three.
I'm with you. I think they almost felt a little bit like we got a little bit of house money here, right? We stole the first one. Yeah.
I hate that, but yes.
I do too. I hate that mentality, but it's, you know, they're humans and it's bound to happen. Since I haven't talked to you since the end of the Cavs season, and I know there's a lot of speculation and things, you know, bubbling with the team, and we will get back into this at some point. It's not the topic of the day. I think I'm in the minority, Jeff, in talking to people around town. I don't trade any of the core four. And I know that may sound almost preposterous in that you've got to make some changes. But I feel like what you need to do, and we've seen this throughout the years, NBA championships are won by usually guys 5 through 9 who you have on that roster, right? It's about developing a better and a deeper bench and a bench that maybe complements your first team more than this one does. I still hold on to these four guys because I know what I've got in them. First of all, in my mind, Mitchell and Mobley are untouchable.
Without question.
I could make an argument that you could move Darius and get, you know, back a more competent defensive player, et cetera, et cetera. I still like Darius. I still think there's upside with him as well. And I feel the same way about Jared Allen. You know what you're getting in him. Now, granted.
And Tom, if you move Jared, you need two more big men.
Exactly.
Because I think you need one now.
Exactly. It's not an addition by subtraction type of situation. No. You're going to have to figure out then, well, where am I going to get my 12 or 13 rebounds a game, right, if not from him? I feel like it's more about building a better bench to complement that team. That's my little take on the Cavs on June 11th. We'll see where it goes.
I am open to the idea of trading Darius Garland, but I don't think, and I've heard people say, you got to move Darius. No, you don't.
I don't think so.
You don't.
No.
You know why you would move Darius? Because some offer knocked your socks off and you think it makes it a better team.
That would be a reason to do it.
That's
for sure.
The only reason to do it. And I don't like the two small ball dominant guards. I'm not busting them up unless I get assets that make me a better team. And I think that's essential, Tom. And people, I've read too much now. You got to bust them up. No, you don't have to. You don't have to.
But if
you can improve your team, that's a different story.
Different story. That's exactly where I'm at. Thanks for clarifying that for me. That's kind of my stance right now on it all. And you know what? And Jeff, to your point, I mean, Kenny Atkinson was able to figure out last year how to use Donovan and Darius together in a complementary way, right? How one played off the other better. They got to get better. They got to improve. You know, I'm not saying run it back necessarily, but I'm saying I'd be very hard pressed to break up this core four right now.
I'm real curious to see. I'm assuming because Kobe Altman told us, even though I don't think he had a choice but to say this.
Right.
I'm assuming the core four will be back. That means he does have to tinker with the rest of the team.
Oh, no doubt.
As you said, it's the guys 5 through 9. And at the beginning of last season, everybody was saying how deep the team was, and they looked pretty deep, and they were getting some decent productivity. But you traded two of those pieces for one piece, and that hit your depth a little bit. I like DeAndre Hunter, but I'm a big Caris LeVert fan.
Same.
And George Niang.
I hated to see him go.
Yeah,
same with George, yeah.
George played well here. And George was a good force in that locker room. And that hurt your depth. And then you saw how good your depth was when you hit the playoffs, and that depth did not help you win games. That's what I think everybody needs to remember. Just because a guy can go play 15 minutes for you in a regular season game doesn't mean they can help you win at the most critical times.
And back to your Pacers, I mean, that's what they've been all about in these playoffs, right?
Everybody they've put on the floor has helped them. Your Neesmith, your Toppin, like McConnell.
I know. I know.
Obi Toppin's been real nice coming off the bench for them.
I never knew he could shoot like that.
I know.
I don't think he knew he could shoot like that.
You know what's impressed me about the Pacers? Miles Turner behind the three-point line. Wow.
And completely unafraid.
He just jacks it up. And he's getting, and if I'm playing them, I get it. He's getting open looks.
Oh, yeah.
Behind the three-point line. Well, I'm leaving him open behind the three-point line, except for one thing. He's hitting him.
Yeah.
Somebody better get out and get a hand on him.
Hell, Thomas Bryant has come off the bench and given them good minutes.
Who I always liked.
I did, too.
I thought...
Yeah.
And see, that's the type of an addition that Kobe Altman could make to the Cavs this offseason. Not Thomas in particular, but a guy
that
who's
kind
been,
of a player. I'm
right,
with you.
Yeah. A guy who's been around the league for a while. I saw the name Mark Williams, who failed his physical with the Lakers when they made that trade with Charlotte.
Oh,
and
right,
Dalton
right,
Connect
right,
was going
right.
to go to Charlotte. I've seen his name associated with the Cavs. Well, you get add Mark Williams to this team? That okay.
I like it.
And so I think they could use another big. But
they needed one of the deadline, Jeff. That still bothered me that they did not make a move there because I thought that was a glaring weakness.
I think it was exposed. So. I think so too, Tom.
Yeah.
But can you add a wing player who can help you? Can you develop a wing player who can help you? Maybe. You know, we'll see. But the way this team is built right now, is it an NBA championship team? I think not, but who's to say?
No, but not far away.
But who's,
Not far away from
Add the right piece or two? I personally would start DeAndre Hunter next year.
Oh, I would too. I think that's a no-brainer in my mind.
I think so. Make Max Strus your super sub.
Exactly.
You know?
That's a better spot for Max.
Well, DeAndre's 6'8", and he plays good D on the wing, which is why you got him.
Yeah, and obviously there was still kind of a growing period going on with him and the team, right? I mean, got here yes. halfway through the year or more. So.
And had been thriving coming off the bench in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And you traded two bench pieces to get him. So I understand maybe from a continuity standpoint, you thought that was the best way to go. Let's assume the core four is back. You put DeAndre Hunter on the floor with those guys. Well, then you've got a starting
five. I'll take it. Yeah.
And then maybe you don't cut down everybody's minutes.
I'm glad you're watching the finals. I knew you were.
Oh, without question. It's been way too much fun. And
yeah, it's been good.
I've more than a few times checked Oklahoma City future trade or future draft pick assets.
They still got
They're
them.
They're still loaded.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
I know. We talked about Presti a while back. He's
top notch.
Magician, right?
He's top notch.
Yeah.
He really is. Browns are in day two of mandatory minicamp. Have we told you? They're on the field. They won't be for long. And when they come over to the podium and speak, we're going to hear them right here and expected to speak. Kevin Stefanski, which we knew. Kenny Pickett. Joe Flacco. Deontay Johnson. Tom, to me, OTA's voluntary. What was Deontay Johnson thinking by not coming to voluntary on a new team after he was with Carolina, Baltimore, Houston, and Baltimore last year and had his image just trashed?
Not a great start to repair your reputation, right? I mean, who's advising a guy like
know.
That, right?
You
gotta.
And again, voluntary. I get it.
And granted, there could
However,
right. And we don't know. There could be some other circumstances
maybe.
There, right? There could be something personal going on with them.
Exactly.
It could have been an injury.
If not,
we don't know. But
if not,
you got some explaining to do.
You do, man. you got an image to repair,
yeah.
And you've got to go endear yourself to a new organization who desperately needs a wide receiver.
I was just going to say to you, based on the Browns' needs, this guy's got to look at this as what an opportunity.
I would think.
I can come in here and be 1A.
1A.
Yeah.
Not even 2.
No, exactly.
I mean, Jerry Jeudy's good. Deontay Johnson was damn good.
Gentlemen, I hate to cut you off. We now go live to Berea for Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski.
Is this sort of part of the plan with them?
Yeah, all part of the plan. He got reps today in a couple drills. But every day, like I've told you, we're going to be real intentional about how we divvy them up.
Kevin, this question is more appropriate now than it was in OTAs. Why hasn't Shador faced the number one defense?
Yeah, again, like I've told you guys, let's not look too much into who's out there when. We're in installation phase, we're in teaching phase, so not much to look into.
But a quick follow-up on that, you know, as we do progress into training camp and get closer to these preseason games, or just closer to the season, is it reasonable to expect that someone who is practicing with the first team is under serious consideration to be starting quarterback?
Yeah, we're so far away from that type of thought process, Daniel. It's honestly, it's a we're in our installation phase. It's the off season. It's OTA, so we're going to keep the focus there. Once you get into training camp, of course, you're getting ready to play games and ultimately getting ready for playing the season. But right now, that's not our focus.
So, do you think that changes like day one of training camp, Kevin? Like you get back and the rotation means more, and you have a depth chart in your head?
Yeah, I think we're using this off season. I think this is the we got one more practice to go, so we'll use all these practices like we have for every position to learn about our players and learn what guys do best and those type of things. I mean, obviously, like for a wide receiver, want to find out what routes he's comfortable with. For the quarterbacks, find out what concepts they're comfortable with. So that's really what this offseason has been about. Of course, your mentality changes a little bit as you get into training camp, but that's really not our focus right now.
Kevin, Dylan was talking yesterday about trying to fight the Amazon lifestyle, or the Amazon lifestyle, I think you said, where we all just expect everything to happen immediately and be where your feet are. Given the way, like, coverage has changed with the league since you've been, like, how can you empathize with these guys who are trying to, they just have more to battle on that front as they go through a competition than maybe guys used to?
Yeah, I think probably the biggest difference nowadays is social media, I would expect. Listen, the news cycle is 365 days a year, and there's a lot of content, and there's a lot of hours to fill, as you guys all well know. So we understand how popular our sport is, how interested our fans are in our sport. So we embrace that. We like that part. Having said that, once we get inside the building, we really do focus on where our feet are. We focus that we're here. We focus on what we have in front of us. And I think all of our players have done a great job of understanding that.
How do you try personally to try to block that stuff? Like, what's your keep myself centered?
I'm not on social media, probably number one. But listen, I've been in this sport long enough. The NFL, we know how popular this is, how much interest level there is. It's why our sport is so healthy. and we understand the important role our fans play in our sport. You know, this is when we get to training camp, we'll get our fans out here to be a part of this with us, which we're excited about. I'm excited to be in front of our fields at Huntington Bank Stadium, and that'll be that's the fun part of this business for us is the competitive spirit with a fan base behind you. For right now, though, this is OTAs, and this is the focus really is on the work, and we're not going to let much else get in the way.
Kevin, how much will you take into account the opinions and the feedback of veterans, longtime veterans like Joel and Miles and Jerry and David and those guys, when you are making your quarterback decisions?
Yeah, I'm not there, Mary Kay, yet in terms of talking to other players about those type of decisions. I've leaned on players before for a variety of different things, but I'm not really there yet.
Kevin, no place kicking, is that unusual for your minicamp?
They have been kicking, just not necessarily out here, Tony. It's just part of their routine of when Dustin's getting ready to kick. He doesn't kick every day.
Kevin, has any of these undrafted guys jumped out at you now that you've had some OTAs?
They have. You know, I don't want to single any guys out, but I've been very impressed. I've been impressed with this rookie class in total. The guys are outstanding workers. They're like I've said to you guys, we have no issues. Guys are in early. They're working hard. But I include the drafted and undrafted guys when I say that. It's a really impressive class.
Well, Kevin, I know it's line and there's only
too much into this, but Deontay Johnson was 10th in line yesterday. Today was 4th. Is that just natural evolution?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's just, again, getting up to speed on some of the terminology and that type of thing. So, yes, definitely don't read into that.
Did you feel a need to have a conversation with him about what happened last year? Or was it just Andrew who did that?
Yeah, I've talked to Deontay. When we signed him, I had a good talk with Deontay.
You're okay? You're okay with this?
Yeah.
Kevin, I know it's hard at this point when you're not truly blocking out there, but just what are your early impressions of the cutting ability of Quinshon?
Yeah, it's hard, like you mentioned, Darrell. It's hard to evaluate without pads on. Running back's a hard position to evaluate in these settings. I will tell you, with Quinshon, with Dylan, the young guys, and I'm, you know, I could talk about the room in general, but speaking about those two young guys, they've done a great job of learning the system, understanding their roles and what we're asking them to do. We've put a lot on their plates. So, yeah, of course, Q, you see in college tape, you see his cutting ability at that size is rare. Harder to see out here, although it does happen at times, but it's different when the defense isn't bringing you to the ground.
What are you hoping Deontay can add, given the success that he's had in this league?
Yeah, another veteran player that has had success in this league. We've gone against him, so I know what type of player he is, having been in the division with him, so know his skill set, but another veteran player.
I know that you...
Kevin Stefanski's press conference, Berea speaking right after practice. We're going right back.
Happened in the past, but I'm really focused on today and the future for Deontay.
Kevin, yesterday?
It'll be like a normal minicamp practice.
It'll be normal, a little bit shorter, a little bit earlier, but normal.
Kevin, yesterday you were talking about the discussions in the QB room between Joe and the younger guys and Kenny too. How have those types of conversations and like camaraderie in the QB room changed over the years you've been in the NFL when you have an older guy and then some younger guys, or does it just depend on the personalities in the room?
Yeah, I think it's so dependent on the personalities. I think back to Brett Favre and Tavares Jackson, Sage Rosenfels, Joe Webb. That was a fun room. It's just so dependent on who the guys are. And I've been very, very lucky, very, very fortunate to be in some great rooms with professionals, guys that work hard at their craft, but also we try to have fun while we're in there as well.
The hurry up period, was that the first? Did you do that in OTAs?
We started to introduce some 2-minute into the offense and defense last week, and then started to work a little bit today.
What do you look for in the quarterbacks differently in like the high red, keep in the red zone? Because we did a lot of that today.
Yeah, we've done a lot of red zone period for a bunch of different reasons. Number one, it's so important. Obviously, it's the scoring portion of our field. But number two, it's a nice way to take care of legs. So if you do a red zone drill, you're not running 50 yards, if you will. So you try to incorporate some red zone into what we do. But the game does change down there. The field becomes wider than it is long. A lot of those windows become extremely tight. Obviously, we're not working the run game right now, but in the run game, those running backs have to sometimes bring their own blocker. We're going to have a safety that we can't block. So the game really does change down there.
Kevin, in terms of...
You are listening to WKRK-FM and HD1 Cleveland Heights, Cleveland. Here's Kevin Stefanski.
The whole system, which for us essentially amounts to about 7 installs.
So that's about normal?
That's about normal, yeah.
Kevin, how is Jamari so far? You know, had a couple throws today, or passed yesterday,
He's had a really strong spring, is here all the time, working on his body. Very intelligent player, can line up in multiple positions, which I think is valuable. And then he showed up. He's caught the ball well, and the quarterbacks like how he gets open. He finds a way to get open versus zone versus man.
Kevin, it's Mike Holland, David Bell that haven't practiced all season. Do you expect them to be ready to go when we get to training camp?
I'll have a better update as we get closer to training camp.
Good.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Kevin Stefanski, first of our press conferences from a mandatory minicamp press conferences on the Fan, brought to us by Montrose Ford. Choose Click Cruise at montroseFordAkron.com. Expected to speak, Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Deontay Johnson. And we're going to stick right here and listen for them coming up. Tom, Deontay Johnson, questions there for Kevin Stefanski. He said, I talked with him when we signed him. I would bet he said this, clean slate and opportunity.
There you go. What more could you ask for?
I would think nothing more.
You know, Kevin is so dang polished, isn't he?
Well, he is.
It's different for me. Like I said to you guys earlier, it's different for me now being on the outside and listening to these news conferences. And I get a little bit frustrated sometimes with the line of questioning, but I also have an appreciation for how difficult it can be to extract like legitimate, real good information from him in this setting. We didn't really learn anything in that little segment, unfortunately.
That is correct.
Which is kind of the point.
He had a conversation with Deontay Johnson
and
read nothing into who's up first and who's up second.
Correct.
Is basically what he said.
And obviously hearing from the veteran quarterbacks today will be big, as well as hearing from Deontay Johnson. You know, the installation phase, we knew all this was happening. Good to hear him say positive things about Quinshon and his cutting ability, which we are watching on X as well, and it does look legitimate. There's not a lot to say. I mean, you and I have been kicking this around for the last couple of hours. This is real early. It's June 11th. They're seeing what they need to see. Don't read too much into who's out there first with whom. That's just how it goes. They're just setting up practice. I didn't realize that Michael Hall has been out the entire time, as well as David Bell. So that's not encouraging.
No.
I mean,
well, Michael's coming back from his injury,
especially Hall. Yeah. I mean, you want to see him out there as soon as you can.
The idea of Michael Hall and Mason Graham together
side by side. Oh. Boy, that sounds nice, doesn't it?
Tom, that's 5-7 years right there. You hope you have your defensive tackles taken care of.
You want to be able to lock into those guys. So not a whole lot there, but we'll learn some more for sure.
The one thing about what's going on out there, and you mentioned the line of questioning and stuff, I think people need to remember, when you're talking to coaches, players in press conferences, the idea is not to show them how smart you are. The idea is to get them to give you an answer. And so, you know, when you hear some questions, understand that they're being asked to elicit an answer.
Yeah.
You know, not to... You know, you might think, well, that's a stupid thing to ask. Not if you get a great answer.
That's so good, Jeff. You're exactly right. I can't tell you. So I'll give you guys a little bit of insight. So when you hear the Monday news conferences following a game.
Oh, yeah. Those are rough ones.
They are rough. But I will tell you that, like, myself and Scott Petrak, we would normally call each other before the news conference if it was on Zoom. And it's typically on Zooms now on Mondays, right? We don't have availability.
Which is nice. You don't have to drive to Berea.
Right, true. But we would also try to figure out, how can we get something out of Kevin? And I've always talked to other media members about
this.
It's like, in many ways, it's how you present the question, right?
Sure it is.
It's always about that, right? Yeah. It's like, you don't want to get too long-winded. You want to cut to the chase. You want to try to, if possible, back him into a corner.
You don't need to spew to a coach your thoughts on football.
No, correct. And you don't want to necessarily be, I mean, you want to be tough, right? You want to hold them to account. That's what our job is about. You don't want to necessarily be adversarial, because oh, by the way, you have to work with this person going forward. So
hopefully for years.
Yeah. So there's one thing about, I know everybody's like, oh, you know, Withers, you ask such softball questions. You're just kind of teeing them up and you got to pick your spots. You got to know when it's time to be kind of a jerk and when it's time to, you know, ask the easy question or give, not necessarily give them the out, but don't necessarily, you know, you don't hold their feet to the fire all the time. You can't.
You can't.
But, and I also know that, you know, fans get frustrated because they want the tough questions asked. And I think we, and I say we as a Browns and Cleveland media in general, do a good job of asking what's necessary and what's appropriate on a given day or after a given game. Sometimes you just don't get the answers you want, and that's just the way it is.
Real quick sidelight, we're going to go back. Next time we have a press conference here, Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, Deontay Johnson coming up. John McNamara on an Indians media tour way back in the day, and it was at Tangiers in Akron. And, you know, Johnny Mack's a vet, right? He's been around forever. And I'm sitting there, I'm getting ready to talk to him, and we just, you know, kicked it around for like a minute tops. I look at my camera guy, and you ready to go? Yep. Okay, good. And I looked at Johnny Mack, and I just thought I'd say something stupid really quick to loosen him up. And I said, well, what do you think? How do you feel? He went for a minute and 50 seconds, answered everything I possibly would have asked him. And I said, thanks.
That'll do it.
We were done.
That's great.
So I got everything I needed by asking, what do you think? How do you feel? That was it.
Sometimes that's all it takes. Yeah.
That's all it takes because he knew he was there to talk. Told me everything we needed.
Speaking of McNamara, I've heard from several people that he was one of the great cussers of all time. Just really knew how to use that language in appropriate ways. Yes, he did. Yeah. So, I know. And I know it's frustrating for fans because you want to get to the bottom of things, but sometimes it takes a lot more digging than you're realizing.
I want to go back to something that Chris Easterling told us at 10:40 when he joined us, covers the Browns for the Beacon Journal. He's out there at mandatory minicamp. You'll hear him asking questions coming up here when Kenny Pickett comes up to the podium, when Joe Flacco comes up. I asked him, does Pickett look better, different than the other guys? Because my hope is that he does, because
he wins a job.
Former first round pick wins the job. He's got some experience, was with a Super Bowl winner. And Chris said, he looks like the other guys.
Not encouraging.
Not encouraging.
No.
Because if I'm Kenny Pickett, this is.
You need to stand out.
It's my last chance, probably, Tom, to be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
I know it's real early to say that about a guy who's only a 3-year vet, but. Okay, Pittsburgh decided you weren't their starting quarterback. They brought in Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. And you wanted out of there. I get it. You know, if you were a first-round pick and they just brought in Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, you're not the guy. You might not even stick.
Right. Well,
but
good point.
If he comes here where there's a job to be won and your competition is a 40-year-old who's had 5 really good games in the last, like, 8 years, they were here. We loved him. And a guy who's a third-round pick and a guy who's a fifth-round pick, and if you can't beat them out, you're on the track to career backup.
Yeah, and he may be. Or he's going to, you know, resurrect his career, if you will, and like you said, take advantage of the opportunity and become a full-time starter. I've been a little bit mixed on him. I'll be honest with you, Jeff, over the years. Like, you know, he didn't get a whole lot of run in Pittsburgh. I mean, he played, what? He made 20-some starts, I think, right?
He was 15 and 10.
Yes, okay.
I believe he was a starting quarterback.
15 and 10, right? Then he gets shuffled off.
Yep.
And then back up last year with the world champions, right? So that's, you know, you hope he took something from that experience. So I'm with you. And if nothing else, Jeff, you want him to play competently enough and well enough that he's going to draw maybe some outside interest to free you up from this logjam that you may have if you decide to go with Joe as your starter and Dylan as your backup and Shadur on the practice squad or however it shakes out.
Yeah. There are so many avenues for this thing to go, Tom.
Oh my God.
Because
right?
if Pickett shows that he's no better than Gabriel or Sanders, then why would you keep him?
You'd move him as soon as you could.
You certainly would.
Yeah.
And you would start Flacco.
Yeah.
That's where, and that's why I've said it's disappointing to me if Flacco's the starter. You gave the exact reason why Flacco should be the starter, My hope is that one of the three young guys shows that he might have a chance to be the franchise quarterback of this team. But if Pickett,
that's the goal this year.
Yep. Right. If Pickett doesn't do that, then it screams, okay, either the two young guys aren't ready and we have two first-round picks next year and who knows what else you can come up with, you can go ahead and start Joe and kick the can down the road, yeah, either with Gabriel or Shadur developing or drafting a guy next year. But the longer you kick that down the road, in theory, Tom, the longer you stay away from contention.
And that's such a scary scenario, Jeff, because then you start worrying about injuries, and then all of a sudden you get a situation like you had a couple years ago where suddenly Dylan Gabriel or Shadur Sanders are starting in week four or something. And
if they're not ready, there goes your season.
Oh, God. I know.
It's just not a good situation. So that's why all along I've been pulling for Pickett, because if he can actually do something,
that settles things down. I get you. Yeah.
You might have a quarterback that you can start for 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
And if you get into next year's draft, let's say you're okay this year, whatever your record ends up being, if you're not in position to draft a quarterback that you really like, then again, you don't have to force it.
No.
You know, and you have a guy that you think we can play. And so if he does well, it gives you more options.
I agree. And you got those two first round picks that you want to hold on to, right? I mean, it gives you a real runway to maybe getting back into contention.
If one of these guys is really good, and I don't care which one it is, if it's Joe, you still need a quarterback because of his age. But if it's one of the other three guys, the younger guys, and they end up, let's just say, Tom, they become even Sam Darnold. Let's say they become Geno Smith. You know, they become Baker going to Tampa.
I'd sign up for any of those.
And then you can, next year, you take a highly rated wide receiver. You take a left tackle. All of a sudden, you're a different football team, you know?
I'm with you.
Can that happen? Mandatory minicamp ended for day two. Players speaking, Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco coming up, Deontay Johnson as well. You will hear those people right here on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.